This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson, who has the day off. But Earl will be back in the hot seat again Tuesday at 106 with more Sports Talk for you. But today, we're going to center most of our conversation around the Michigan State men's basketball team. And yesterday, in case you had not heard the news, they did clinch a share of the Big Ten championship thanks to Wisconsin's win at Ohio State. A couple of ways you can get involved in today's program. You can reach us on the telephone at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or you can reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. And Jacob is producing today's show. He is on the other side of the glass, and he would be more than happy to take your phone calls. And we're planning to have a special guest today, Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing, also the host of Spartan Fast Break, to talk a little Michigan State basketball with you. And we will try and connect with Sam a little bit later in today's show. But I actually just ran over to the WKR studios from the Breslin Center. Tom Izzo holding his weekly Monday press conference, and we'll just give you a couple. I know Earl usually goes over and records a couple things and can give you a couple cuts. We didn't have the ability to do that today, so I'll give you just a couple of the highlights of today's Tom Izzo press conference. He joked starting out saying that the win yesterday by Wisconsin over Ohio State was a surprise Christmas present from his good friend Bo. Of course, talking about Wisconsin head coach. Tom Izzo and Bo Ryan have had their differences in the past, but they've patched things up since then. And Izzo joking that his good friend Bo gave him a little bit of a Christmas present. But he pretty much stopped there with a lot of the joking and a lot of the talk about winning the Big Ten championship, as many coaches do, and especially coaches who are at an elite level. I don't want to say nothing is ever good enough, but they're never satisfied. Because if they're satisfied, they fear complacency. And that's the one thing now that Tom Izzo has to fight a little bit, is making sure with two games left in the regular season that his basketball team doesn't become complacent, that they still have a lot to play for. And one of the big things that they have to play for is an outright Big Ten championship, which would give seniors Austin Thornton and Draymond Green their second outright Big Ten championship in Michigan State history. And Izzo was quick to point out today that no other senior class in the history of Michigan State basketball has accomplished that feat. So as he's looking for ways to motivate his guys and keep them going, that's one thing that he stressed today. Was he's always talking about footprints in the sand and what the program can do maybe better than the group before them. And there have been some great programs, great teams in the 17 years that Tom Izzo has been here in East Lansing, but nobody, and this goes all the way back, not just in Tom's time, but the history of Michigan State basketball, has ever won two Big Ten championships outright. We'll get to a little bit more of what he had to say in his press conference, but we want to go to the phone lines right now at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll free at 877-952-7870 if you're outside the 517 area code. And we want to welcome in Bill, who's in Hazlet this morning on this Monday afternoon. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Very well. What time would the number one seeded team play Friday in the Big Ten tournament?
I will have to look that up. I don't have that in front of me. The times are changing a little bit because of having 12 teams this year versus 11 last year. I'll look it up for you, but I want to say off the top of my head, they are the first game of the day on Friday, so, and I believe that's around noon. But I'll look it up for you to make sure. But if memory serves me correct, and I know Jacob's digging for it now too, but if memory serves me right, it's noon tip on Friday.
Well, then, if there's by chance there's a tie, then how would they break the tie?
Well, that's another good question, and we just went through this with the women yesterday. There's different ways to do it. If there's a two-way tie, you look at the two teams as they played head-to-head, and the team with the better record obviously advances. Things get a little bit more muddy if there's a three-way tie. If there's a three-way tie, you have to take the combined records between the teams that are tied. So, again, at this point, I think Michigan State's focused on, you know, not just tying for the championship, but finding a way to win one of these final two games. And then on top of that, you know, Michigan and Ohio State have both of their last two games on the road. So even if one of them were to lose one of those two games, of course, Ohio State's last game is here in East Lansing, but if one of them were to lose one of those games on the road, that would give Michigan State the outright title as well. But Izzo was quick to point out today that he doesn't want, no coach wants to back into anything. You know, they want to go out on the floor and win this outright.
Thank you.
All right, Bill, we appreciate the phone call today from Hazlitt. Hopefully we were able to clear a couple of those things up for you, and we'll get the start time of that number one seeded game in the Big Ten tournament. All right, a couple other highlights from Tom Izzo's press conference today. You know, he talked about Indiana and the difference that the Hoosiers have made since the last time, you know, Michigan State played them in East Lansing and really took care of them. And Indiana might be the perfect example this year in the Big Ten of a team that plays so differently at home when they're wearing the white jerseys than on the road when they're wearing the crimson, because they have been just world beaters at home. You know, they beat the number one team in the country there. They beat the number two team in the country there, but have not really found a way to have success on the road. I mean, other than the difference in this game being Indiana's going to be at home. Obviously, Izzo pointed to Zeller being a lot better and Oladipo running that team and getting them to where they need to be. Those are a couple things that he has seen improvement in the Indiana Hoosiers since the last time that Michigan State played them. You know, he did focus a lot of his time today on not celebrating the Big Ten championship yet. They were actually, the team was at practice yesterday when that Ohio State-Wisconsin game went final. Draymond Green told a story about Derek Nix was in the training room. He's got a sprain of his arch in his foot, and he's undergoing some treatment during practices. So he actually was in the training room, and that game was on the TV while he was there. And he knew the outcome of that game and what it meant, and then he passed that along to Draymond Green, who said he didn't want to interrupt practice at that time to really let everybody know what exactly was going on with that other game, and he didn't want to distract from what was going on at practice. So when practice was over, Draymond did relate things to the rest of his teammates, as did Tom Izzo, who said they took about 5 minutes or so when the practice was over, and maybe he patted them on the back for about 30 seconds for what they have accomplished, because no matter what happens over these last two games, there will be a new banner that does go up to the rafters of the Breslin Center, signifying a Big Ten championship for the 2012 season. But that this team has so much more to accomplish. And again, you know, this is Tom Izzo's seventh championship in his 17 years on the sidelines at Michigan State. And that's something, if you step back and you think about it, that puts him obviously the seven championships in the top five in the Big Ten of winning Big Ten titles. And it puts Michigan State in an upper echelon in the Big Ten conferences as far as what they have been able to do to win those Big Ten championships recently. But then comes the part of not being satisfied and reassessing goals, because at the beginning of the season, let's face it, this team was unranked, unproven, and even the coaches and players admitted today that they weren't quite sure how this whole thing was going to work out this season as far as success and how the team was going to come together. And really, it's been, you know, last year Tom Izzo kind of called it the perfect storm. Everything that snowballed and could have gone wrong did. This season has almost been the perfect storm the other direction, that everything that could have fallen into place has. You know, they lost those first couple games and ripped off, you know, 15 in a row after that, and then stumbled a couple more times here in the Big Ten schedule, but sit at 13-3 with a couple games still to play. So, you know, this has really been the perfect storm the other way for Michigan State this season. And as he mentioned, there will be a time to celebrate this Big Ten championship it's just really not at this point. But at some point, you know, that they will be able to do that. For the most part, the team's pretty healthy. Travis Trice did practice a little bit yesterday. Of course, he's been out with that high ankle sprain and had been unable to go here for the last three games. But he is highly doubtful, Izzo said, to play Tuesday night. But it could be a situation where they might be able to get him back a little bit for that Ohio State game. And really, at this point, they need Trice in there to share with some of those minutes at the point guard and give Keith Appling a little bit of a rest. We do have confirmation. Jacob looked up the Big Ten tournament. Yes, the number one seed will play the number eight or nine seed Friday at noon, and that game will be televised on ESPN. So Michigan State more than likely to play a week from Friday at noon in Indianapolis in their first game of the Big Ten tournament against the 8 or 9 seed. And again, it's much too early to try and look at who might their opponent be in that first-round game. We'll know a lot more about that after these midweek games, and you can kind of break down the standings and what they're going to look like. But again, Travis Trice back at practice a little bit. Derek Nix did not practice yesterday due to that sprained arch, but Izzo is hoping to get him back in practice later today and have a chance for him to get some work in ahead of this big game coming up at Indiana tomorrow night. This basketball team really had to, as Izzo said today, look in the mirror after last season. And I mentioned the snowball and everything going wrong. But going back into the offseason and all the work that they put in, you know, you go back to Derek Nix and all the weight that he lost. And there were a couple bumps in the road. I think that they were hoping that things might come together a little bit, you know, with Russell Bird. But his injury still slowed him down a little bit, and he was unable to go as much as I think that the coaching staff would have liked him to. But the way that the team came together in the offseason, you know, you had Keith Appling playing for the United States basketball team, and you had Draymond Green also make a U.S. basketball team. And that was big for those guys in their development in the summer, not only from a skill position, but also the confidence position, that that they knew that they were among the best in this country. And being able to play with those teams certainly raised the level of their game. I mean, I think that's always something that I valued when I played, is that when you played against older people and you played against better people, that's the way that you got better. And having those two guys go through that experience with USA Basketball helped them kind of raise their game. And you look at a guy like Draymond Green, who was always an excellent leader. You knew what you were going to get from him from a leadership standpoint in the clubhouse. And he's been all that and a whole lot more. And he's really raised, Izzo said, his leadership to another level this year. And that was something that, you know, he's gotten a little bit better condition. He's been a much better practice player. And really, Izzo pointed today to the bond, if you will, between Keith Appling and Draymond Green for not only off the court, but what they've kind of brought together on the court. And those two guys have really formed a very, very good two-man team. And they play the two-man game well on the pick and roll. And one of my, I joked with Izzo last week about, you know, one of the, he runs a ton of set plays, as everybody knows. But one of the plays that's worked the best so far this year has been Draymond Green trailing the play, coming down on the break when MSU's coming down on offense, and being able to spot up and get a three-pointer, usually from the top of the key, always on a pass from Appling. But Appling's played a lot of minutes lately, and I think there is some concern about maybe him wearing out here as we get down to the stretch of the end of the regular season and into the postseason as they'll get ready to play in the Big Ten tournament next week. All right, we invite your phone calls today here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR, and you can get involved in today's show by dialing in at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. You can also do it toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR 870 if you're outside the 517 area code. We invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
The Supreme Court will take on the University of Texas case on the use of race in admissions. Court watchers believe they may decide to end affirmative action. But culturally, is it time? I'm John Donvan, figuring out when affirmative action has run its course. Plus, the opinion page. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's coming up on Talk of the Nation today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl. Today will be windy and partly sunny. We could get a little light snow, the high 35. Tonight, a low in the upper teens and partly cloudy. Mostly cloudy with a high of 32 tomorrow. There's a winter storm watch Tuesday evening through Wednesday evening. Freezing rain, snow, and sleet. Wednesday's high 35.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV in for Earl Robinson today. It is 1:22 here on this Monday afternoon. We invite your phone calls today at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or toll-free if you're outside the 517 area code at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. Let's go out to line one and welcome in Victor. Who's in Lyons?
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Victor. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well.
What can we do for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God for radio.
Why is that?
Well, because that's how I'm able to. I haven't missed a Michigan State game. I'm able to catch it on a radio station on the FM side.
Sure.
Which, being a blind person, you know, it's easier to follow than TV. But it's been a good season. Even the games against Duke and North Carolina were good games.
Well, and I think you hit on a good point there. It's been a good season, but it can be a great season. I think that's really become the focus now. Is good is good, but let's try and become great.
Well, I think Michigan State, because I think they will beat Indiana. I do, but only time will tell. But one more quick thing, a little change of subject. I feel bad for old Joel Samaya.
Yeah, we're going to bring that up a little bit later. For those of you who don't know, he threw about 13 pitches on Saturday in his first bullpen session down at spring training with the Minnesota Twins. Had some issues with his pitching elbow, went and had an MRI, and they found out that he has a ligament issue in that pitching elbow. And now, Victor, today, words on the wire is that Joel Zumaya is contemplating retirement.
I think he probably should. I remember listening to the game when when he injured his shoulder.
Yep.
You know, and that was – oh, you could just – I mean, even Dan and Jim, you could – oh, it's like the pain. I mean, you could – I guess – Joel lives and he could hear his shoulder pop all the way to the plate. Now, that right there, you know, I mean, Zamaya being courageous enough to try to come back. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's done, unfortunately, for him. But
well, you look at a guy with the talent of Joel Zamaya, and his talent comes from how hard he throws the baseball. You know, routinely touching 100, 101, 102, even up to 105 miles an hour. But the force that it took his arm to throw that hard has, as you've seen, really taken a toll on his entire career, that he's just never been healthy. And as you mentioned, I mean, the older that he gets, the more likely that he's going to be able to pitch for longer periods of time without putting a lot of stress and strain on the elbow and the shoulder are a lot less likely.
Right. I mean, Frank Tanana, he used to be a power pitcher, and he had – I don't know what kind of surgery, but, you know, he learned to be a finesse pitcher, and obviously his career extended quite a while, but I just, you know, especially with this latest injury, I don't think that Samaya could even try to attempt something like that. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a medical person, but it just seems to me, unfortunately, I think he ought to consider another career.
Well, that's the thing that that he struggled with is just having to stay healthy, and it hasn't been good for him, obviously, through these past couple of years. And I think it's come down, like you said, that he has to make the decision. You know, does he want to go through the rehab again to try and get himself healthy for what may or may not you know, who knows what his arm's going to be like after he goes through this latest rehab. So, yeah, he certainly has some decisions left to make.
Hey, great talking to you. You're doing a great job, and I always enjoy listening to you.
Thank you very much, Victor. I appreciate the compliment.
Have a great day, man.
Thank you. Same to you, Victor, calling us today from Lyons. Let's go out to our guest line and welcome in Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing. He's also the host of Spartan Fast Break. You can see that show on WLNS each and every weekend. Good afternoon, Sam. How are you?
Great, Jeremy. How's it going, man?
It's going well. We appreciate a couple minutes with you today. First of all, I want to get your reaction to yesterday's game between Wisconsin and Ohio State. The Buckeyes obviously were the preseason favorite to win the Big Ten championship and have really struggled as of late. What are you seeing from them that they're not playing as well as they did maybe earlier in the season?
Well, honestly, and I wrote about this on my blog at lifeandlansing.com, but it's a thing where Thad Mata doesn't play, you know, his guys. He usually keeps a tight rotation, six, maybe seven guys. And I think it lends itself to guys getting tired legs at the end of the season. And I just wrote about a week and a half ago that Ohio State is getting tired already. It's just sooner than normal. I mean, there's a reason why they've only been to the Final Four one time since Thad Mata's been there. With all the great NBA-caliber talent that they have year after year, you would think they would have some deeper runs. In my opinion, it's because they have a guy like J.D. Weatherspoon. People probably don't even know who that is, but he's on the bench. He played on the same AAU team with Jared Sullinger and Adrian Payne. They were great, and that kid is so athletic. He's almost as athletic as Brandon Dawson is, but nobody even knows who the kid is.
Or somebody like Amir Williams, who people in the state of Michigan might know from Country Day, and he never sees the floor.
Exactly, and those kind of things are an issue, and I think those kind of things on the recruiting trail especially may come back to bite Thad a little bit when you have kids. Even Deshaun Thomas's people were upset last year that Deshaun wasn't getting a lot of playing time, and I've known the kid, and you know, he was one of the all-time leading scorers in Indiana basketball history, and he couldn't, you know, hardly get off the bench last year, and those kind of things lend itself to guys getting tired. But this year's group, they miss a guy like John Diebler who could really stretch the floor, and people can really key on Jared Sullinger and really double down hard without you know, the threat of somebody just going off from deep. Now, they have guys who can shoot it, but nobody in that caliber or that league, I don't think, is a shooter. And as a result, I think it's really hurt Ohio State down the stretch here.
Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing and Spartan Fast Break joining us for a couple minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Sam, back in late December, if I would have told you that with two games left in the regular season, Michigan State was going to already have a share of the Big Ten championship, what would you have said to me?
I would have said Jared Sullinger had a catastrophic injury. I'm serious, man. I didn't see that coming. I mean, I thought Michigan State had a shot to, you know, maybe get to second place. I thought Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan State in there. But I didn't see this coming. I would have definitely thought something would have happened where Michigan State, quote, unquote, backed into a title. But, wow, the way they're playing, the way Coach Izzo has coached this group this year, and the way Draymond Green has really turned things up, just all the credit in the world to that program. It's been one of the more memorable runs, I think, for Michigan State.
Well, the thing that I take from this team, Sam, is about three things. The first one is the cohesiveness that was lacking last year that was quite evident. The other two things are the staples of Tom Izzo's program. And for any young basketball coaches out there or anybody who's interested in coaching basketball, if you want to win games, play defense and rebound. I mean, they're now leading the Big Ten Conference in holding opponents to under 63 points a game and holding opponents to like 36% shooting. And those are numbers that he mentioned today are even better than you go back to the Cleves teams and, you know, the Charlie Bell teams that, you know, were so good defensively and would lock you down. But this team kind of came out of nowhere, I think, in that respect, just the way that they played defensively and of course, rebounding the basketball.
I totally agree, and I totally point to Draymond Green as to why that is. I'll give you a for instance, and this is a minor thing, but when they played Ohio State, Draymond Green guarded Deshaun Thomas. Deshaun Thomas is left-handed, So Draymond Green forced Deshaun Thomas to his right the entire game. He always overplayed his left hand, and it's a minor thing. But when you have guys buying in, paying that close of attention in the scouting room, in the film room, and then they're able to apply it and execute it, it's tremendous. And it shows that Coach Stevens, Coach Fife, and Coach Garland putting together tremendous scouting plans. And then the kids are buying in. They're really paying attention to the detail, and the coaches are doing a phenomenal job at those kind of things. I mean, you can talk about Keith Appling maybe isn't hitting his outside shot, but he's still continuing to play outstanding defense. And defense is half of the ball game. So Michigan State has put together a tremendous team. It's not a sexy one, but it's a team that really is effective in neutralizing opponents and then capitalizing when it gets opportunity.
Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing and Spartan Fast Break joining us for a couple minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Sam, the other thing that's really struck me about this team is the inside 1-2 combination of Adrian Payne and Derek Nix. Now, Nix's problems with weight issues are well documented, and Izzo said today that he even checked in a week or so ago under the weight that he showed everybody on media day. At that point, I couldn't believe they were bringing the scales out to stick him on there. But, you know, those two guys and the improvement that they've shown from last year to this year, I really see as I would put at 1 or 1A as to why this team's been so successful this season.
I completely agree. And I wrote a couple weeks ago as well that I think Derek Nix has a good shot to win sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. I think he and Will Sheehy for Indiana will be maybe your 1-2 finalists for that particular award. But Derek Nix, what can you say? In the post, he's tremendous. And a year ago, you know, I don't think any of us saw it. People were saying that Garrett Sherman was the better of the two.
Right.
And so you look at now, you know, this guy is commanding double teams. He's playing well off of the double teams and exploiting weaknesses. And then Adrian Payne, he's started to understand not just offense, but defense, positioning, how to use his body. And he had the shoulder injury that prevented him from, you know, hitting the weights and all those kind of things. So the improvement of those guys, you know, off the court with their workout regimen and their dedication in the film room, you can see all of those things coming to fruition on the court. So Coach Stevens, Dwayne Stevens, I think deserves a ton of credit in terms of their development and really understanding how to play Michigan State basketball, position, defense, really passing the ball well out of the post, especially for Nix. 5 assists the other night, that is tremendous basketball, and it is a huge reason why Michigan State is where they are. Best post-game, post-presence Michigan State has had since Andre Hudson and Zach Randolph. I don't think anybody can dispute that.
I would suggest to Derek to take a few more of those layups. I mean, there's been a couple times when he gets the ball inside and looks like he's got an easy layup, but decides to kick out. I mean, he did that Saturday and kicked it to Austin Thornton, who made a three. But I think that goes to a little bit of the unselfishness of this basketball team as well, that you don't have any I's on this team. It's about we, and nobody's really looking out for themselves. Draymond, of course, had a nice personal milestone the other night, getting to 1,000 rebounds, and he may have taken a few away from his teammates throughout the year. But, you know, there's nothing about this team that shouts, I need to do this for me. It's we need to do this for we.
I completely agree, and I think that's another reason even Ohio State is having some of the issues that they're having. When you have guys who are playing for NBA scouts trying to show off their total package, and for instance, I expect Deshaun Thomas to declare as well as Jared Sullinger. But when you have guys who totally buy in, and Draymond Green has completely set the tone for that. Last year, I don't think that was the case. When you had Kalen and Durrell, who were, I think, in the back of their minds worried about that kind of thing. It's an issue, and it's really difficult to get rid of it. Myers-Leonard at Illinois, same deal. When you have guys and kids who have that amount of pressure on them, it's really hard to play for the quote-unquote right reasons, and that's your teammates, that's to represent the program, that's to represent the university and all those things. And so this year's group, none of that. Brandon Wood, he declared from the NBA just that he said put his name out there, but he's obviously all in trying to prove himself at this level as a college player. So when you have all of these things coming together for Michigan State, it's lent itself to a great year for this program.
Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing and Spartan Fast Break here joining us for a couple minutes on AM 870 WKAR on Sports Talk. Sam, let's look into the future if we can. Michigan State's got a couple of games left to go. of the two games that are left at Indiana and home against Ohio State, which of those two would you say Michigan State's more likely to win?
Well, definitely the Ohio State game, especially just looking at the fatigue that I see. I mean, after Michigan State beat them, you saw them at Michigan. They looked really tired in that game as well. So I think that's the one where it's going to be a beehive coming in here for those guys. Draymond Green, Senior Day, Austin Thornton, a lot of emotion. So I wouldn't expect Ohio State to come within 10 points, to be honest, of Michigan State that day. The Indiana game is the one I think we all are looking at and pointing to. If Michigan State comes out on top in that particular one, I think Tom Izzo, Coach of the Year for sure. I think Draymond Green, Player of the Year for sure. And I think even Derek Nix, as I mentioned, Sixth Man of the Year over Will Sheehy. And I think that'll be kind of a subplot in that as well. But that's my look at these next couple games here.
Does Northwestern get into the NCAA tournament for the first time?
Wow. You know what? David Thomas, my co-host on Spartan Fast Break, he said it's early in the year, he said, this is my bold prediction, Northwestern makes the tournament. I tell you what, if they're able to win these last couple games here and maybe win a game or two, it's hard to keep them out. That Michigan State win looms larger and larger.
Sure.
Their strength of schedule is in the top 10 now. So looking at their overall record, it's not that impressive, but their body of work and then having a banner win like that, I think, is a huge deal. So I think they get in, but you're not going to get me to open up my wallet at all.
Well, they still have some work to do, and that question may be a little unfair with a couple games left still in the Big Ten season. And they host, Ohio State on Wednesday night. So, I mean, if you want to get into the big dance, what better way than to knock off a team that's reeling a little bit that would, again, help you in the RPI, help your strength of schedule, and you get a chance to do that at home. So I think there's a chance for the Cats to do that as well. Michigan State, again, has not been a number one seed in the NCAA tournament since 2001. How likely are they at this point, do you think, to have one of those top four seeds locked down?
I think likely. When you look at the Big Ten's overall RPI and you look at Michigan State's body of work, and then a big thing for me, Jeremy, and I think everybody, is sort of the eyeball test, the eye test. Michigan State, even in their final four seasons a couple years ago, they had monumental blowout losses on the national stage that were very embarrassing, and it really, I think, unfairly painted Michigan State in a negative light as a team. You know, every time they went against North Carolina, they would get, you know, blown out by 30. And this year you haven't seen that. Even when they lost to Duke in North Carolina, and it was a team everybody's like, okay, this is a nice little Michigan State team, they still fought back, battled back in those ball games, and still held things to a respectable place. I mean, Michigan State being down as much as they were at Purdue was like, I was like, when is the last time Michigan State's been down by 9 points? When's the last time that they, I mean, this year's team is just so unique in the fight and the tenacity that they have. I think they passed the eyeball test as far as what a lot of people are seeing. And then what Draymond Green is doing, so to have a star player as well. All of those things factor in, I think, when it comes to number one seeds. So I think it's likely at this point because nobody saw this coming. It's been a great year.
Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing and also the co-host of Spartan Fast Break joining us for a couple minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Sam, one last thing and then we'll let you go. This may be a little bit of an unfair question because I get it asked a lot too, but because the brackets aren't out yet, I mean, it's tough to say, can Michigan State make a run to the Final Four? But I think you look at this team, they're going to be either a one seed or a two seed. I don't see them dropping below the two line. And that obviously gives you a really good chance to win that first game. And then, you know, you jump into that second game, and sometimes that's the most difficult game, at least it has been, for Michigan State. Now, Tom Izzo's record in the second game of the weekend is spectacular. But is this a team that you look at right now, especially with the defense and the rebounding, that can make a run to get to the Final Four in New Orleans?
I do. I think, for instance, a kid like Keith Appling will really flourish when they get to the tournament because teams aren't going to have him scouted like teams in the Big Ten do. So he's going to be allowed to penetrate, really push the ball. Michigan State, for whatever reason, always has the reputation of being a slow, plodding team that doesn't like to run and those kind of things, and for whatever reason teams always buy into that. So a kid like that, I could really see Keith breaking out in the NCAA tournament, and then as well, as you know, Tom Izzo scouts better than anybody in the country. And I don't think there's any debate, to be honest, about that. And so Michigan State, regardless of the matchup, I think will do very well. A team like Missouri with a lot of quick guards could give Michigan State some issues. It would force Michigan State to go small. And that maybe isn't what is an ideal thing for them, especially with Trice not being 100%. But beyond that, if you play one of the bigger teams, even a Kentucky or a Syracuse, I like Michigan State to match up just because they've done it in the past. And those guys really seem to bring their A game when they're going against a Cody Zeller or Jared Sullinger or Myers Leonard, guys that really are those marquee big men. So I think Michigan State is really primed for another run.
Sam, we appreciate your time this afternoon. I appreciate the insight as well. And we will see you here in the not-too-distant future.
All right, Jeremy. It's an honor. Appreciate the call for sure, man.
Anytime. Thanks, Sam.
Yep.
Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing and also the co-host of the Spartan Fast Break. Again, you can see that show every weekend on WLNS. All right, time for us to take another quick break. We invite you to stay tuned, though, for more sports talk right here on WKAR AM 870.
It's been 50 years since DNA was discovered, and genetic testing has taken off as a tool to diagnose and treat diseases. But learning what's in your genetic code can be a heavy burden to bear. I'm John Donvan. Dr. Robert Klitzman on his book, Am I My Genes? Confronting Fate and Family Secrets in the Age of Genetic Testing. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The forecast, partly sunny and windy today, maybe some light snow, the high 35, partly cloudy tonight, the low in the upper teens. Tomorrow's high in the low 30s and mostly cloudy. There's a winter storm watch Tuesday night through Wednesday night. Look for freezing rain, snow, and sleet and a high Wednesday of 35. I'm Scott Pohl.
Thanks very much, Scott, and welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson filling in today for Earl Robinson. It's 1:43 here on this Monday afternoon, and we invite you to get involved in the last 18 minutes or so in today's program, and you can do so by dialing us up at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We will be open line for the rest of today's program, so if you are interested in getting in today and talking sports with us, we'd be more than happy to welcome you in. A couple of other notes from around the world of sports for today. The Daytona 500, for the first time ever, was postponed yesterday due to the rain in Florida. They were going to try and run it today at noon, but Monday turned out to be a pretty rainy day as well. So now they push back the beginning of that race till 7 p.m. tonight. Of course, they have lights there at Daytona. They run that race in July under the lights. So they will go under the lights tonight, 7 o'clock, for the running of the 2012 Daytona 500. Today is also the trading deadline for the NHL. And the Red Wings have made a what I would call small trade. They've sent Mike Commodore to Tampa Bay for a conditional draft pick. So we'll see if Ken Holland and the boys have anything else up their sleeve. Is I believe 5 p.m. is the trading deadline this afternoon for the NHL, and to see if the Red Wings can improve their team a little bit. They have hit the skids a little bit. They've lost three in a row. Of course, they had that streak of 23 straight home wins that was snapped earlier in the week, and now they've lost three games in a row and hoping to rebound from a little bit of a bumpy week last week. Again, I'm Jeremy Sampson in for Earl Robinson today, and you can reach us again on the phone lines here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870 if you want to get involved in today's show. I want to bring in Jacob for a second, who's again producing today's show. And Jacob, I want to get your thoughts just quickly on this Michigan State basketball season and how things have kind of shaken out with the low expectations this year from a lot of the national media and even a lot of people, you know, regionally around here. But the way that this team has developed and really turned into one of the better teams in the country, with the rankings out today, they're fifth in both the AP poll and the coaches poll. Well, it certainly helps when you have low expectations going into it. It always seems that teams that have low expectations always end up, you know, being successful. When you don't have that target on your back, it's a, you know, the pressure's not on. But I think a lot of people underestimate the power of team cohesiveness and the mental aspect of the game. And I think that a lot of people just look, you know, they look at stats, they look at talent, and yeah, that's a big part of it, but so much of it is the mental connection between the five guys on the court, the guys on the bench, how they all work together, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that shows through this team that they seem to get along with each other, they seem to actually like each other as teammates, and when you can predict a, you know, one of your teammates' next moves, you know, it makes the game a lot easier. And I think a lot of people underestimate that. I think it's a big reason why they're having the success they're having.
Well, there have been a lot of great teams through the history to, you know, pick out whatever sports you want that have a lot of talent. And when you put a lot of that talent together, I mean, let's take the Philadelphia Eagles, for example, right? Coming into this year in the NFL, they were dubbing themselves the dream team, right? They'd gone out and signed all the free agents, and they had stockpiled a bunch of talent. But I think they'd be the first ones to say that they never really gelled together as teammates. They never really came together. And I think when you put, as you mentioned, the two things together, you put the talent together and then you put the cohesiveness together, that's something that we haven't seen here at Michigan State with the basketball team in a couple years. And Tom Izzo will be the first one to tell you about the issues that last year's team had with distractions and kind of everything going the wrong way. But when you put those two things together, it's kind of amazing what you can do. Even if you have a team that doesn't have the talent, but you have that cohesiveness, the things that you can accomplish are great things.
Absolutely, and there's something to be said about having a bunch of egos that clash and how that hurts a team. And when you have a bunch of selfless guys on a team, that certainly helps as well. You know, when you have a guy who's willing to make the pass first instead of looking to shoot all the time, that certainly helps the offense out and whatnot. So I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think they're a really strong team. I think they're one of these teams that you never bet against Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. They're always prepared. They always play well. So, you know, I have a gut feeling, you know, when I fill out my bracket, when I make my predictions, you know, I'll have them kind of going, you know, making a bit of a run. I think certainly Final Four is within their reach, especially if they get that one seed. You get a little bit of an easier path, although they'll probably be the fourth one seed. But when you're a one seed, it really doesn't make a difference. So we'll see how it shakes out. But again, like you said, you can't make any predictions in the NCAA tournament until you actually see the pairings. So we'll see from there.
Well, it's such a matchup-driven you know, tournament, and that has a lot to do with, you know, the matchup. But yeah, getting a one seed, you know, you almost get a bye into the second round just because of the 16 seed, and you may have, you know, a play-in game against a team that just played, you know, a couple days before. So that's a good, that's a little bit of an opportunity as well that you've got a team that may have some tired legs. But it looks like they're going to get to play close to home. I would be willing to predict that they will be in Columbus, Ohio. Those games, of course, are not being played at Value City Arena on the campus of the Ohio State University, but are instead being played downtown at Nationwide Arena where the Blue Jackets play. But nonetheless, it's a 3.5-4 hour drive, depending on how fast you go.
It's 3.5.
I've been known to make it 3.5 before, but straight down 23 to Columbus, and I think that you'll see a lot of green there if Michigan State is sent there. And again, I would suspect that whether they're a one seed or a two seed, that they're going to end up in Columbus. Again, we've got about 10 minutes left in today's show here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Jeremy Sampson in for Earl Robinson today, and you can be a part of today's show by dialing us up at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. You can also reach us toll-free if you're outside the 517 area code at 877-WKAR-870. One of the other things that struck me today, Jacob, about what Tom Izzo had to say was that, again, he wanted his team to not have to back into something. He wanted to earn something, as he called it, the Michigan State way. And, you know, that way, as we mentioned with Sam, has always been about defense and rebounding. And it was funny because last week at practice, Susie Merchant was just sitting watching. She was in the stands and she was watching the Michigan State men's practice. And I've seen her more, I think, this year than at any other time in her tenure of looking in at the men's practice. And listening to her today, she has really bought into that fact. And not that she didn't do it before, but I think she's really recognized to be successful in the game of basketball, it's defense and rebounding. And I'm always a proponent of the defense wins championships on whatever level. It can be, you know, football, baseball, softball, tiddlywinks, whatever. Defense wins championships. That's, if you want a formula to win, it's not fun. It's not always fun. It's not exciting. But that's what it takes to win championships. But it's interesting to watch how different coaches for the men's and women's programs can kind of rub off on each other. And I really see Susie studying the men's team, the way they defend, the way they rebound, and just the tenacity that they play with. And she was mentioning today that they won the quote-unquote Big Ten defensive scoring title this year again for the third year in a row, holding their opponents to really difficult time scoring the basketball. So it was funny to watch her today. She almost sounded like Tom a little bit, the way she was talking about her team. They are the number 5 seed in the upcoming Big Ten tournament this week. They actually finished in a tie for second place, but lost all the tiebreakers with the other teams that they were tied with.
So yeah, you want to talk about a logjam in standings,
right?
The women's standings were.
Well, and you look at a team like Ohio State, who's going to be the 2 seed.
Yeah.
They only had to play the other teams that they tied with once, where that wasn't the case for Purdue, Iowa, and Michigan State. So, but the Spartans have won 7 of 8. They go into that tournament as hot as anybody in the conference. They get Indiana, who was, one, I think they had one win in the Big Ten women's regular season.
Yeah, they won their, I believe, last game against, Iowa, something like that. But, yeah, it took them a while.
So, you know, you would think that Michigan State would be able to get by that game, although Indiana did play them tough. Their head coach, Felicia Leggett-Jack, was an assistant coach here under Joanne McCauley, so she always tends to get her team up to play against Michigan State for a school that she was an assistant coach at. Then if they win, they would play Purdue on Friday, and that's, you know, Purdue really, as Susie put it, you know, we played our worst half of basketball this season, that first half at Purdue, came back to beat Purdue in overtime, you know, maybe should have won that game in regulation, but that's another team, and looking at her, the way that she's kind of put this team together, that's winning games right now because of their defense and their rebounding.
Absolutely. They're the hottest team in the Big Ten. There were a good number of people actually at the final home game, the Nebraska game there, and all those people saw the defense in action in that game. Nebraska came into that game, I believe, the top-scoring offense in the Big Ten, around 70 points a game, 71 points a game, and the Michigan State defense held them to 18 under their average, and just atrocious shooting in the first half by the Cornhuskers. And so, yeah, that defense is really what's a big reason that they're on they've won 7 of the last 8 games. But also they're just playing well, and Portia Poole's playing well. She's, you know, scoring in the 20s consistently now, so they found that kind of consistent scorer in her. And then Taylor Alton as well, another one of those seniors, and then LaKendra Johnson is just eating up rebounds like she does.
And this is a team that's, I think, taken a little while to find its identity. You know, earlier in the year, you didn't really know maybe who the go-to scorer was. Poole's kind of taken that, and really said, you know, if we need a basket late in the game, I want the ball in my hands. I want to be able to take that shot. LaKendra's played, I think, better as the year has gone on, you know, getting comfortable with the way that she's got to maybe play a little bit differently than she has in the past in the post. And, you know, they inserted Clarissa Bell into the lineup, and that's really kind of started this spurt. You know, we saw her play plenty of times here locally at East Lansing High School, and always knew that she had the ability to defend on the next level. She's added some scoring to her repertoire. Now, I think she's still a little hesitant to take some shots, but you don't want to correlate one move with the team having success. But really, since they inserted Bell into the lineup, she's really given that team a spark.
Absolutely. And if you look at kind of last year's team and this year's team, they returned a lot of people, but I think you're right with the finding your consistent scorer. Last year they had Kalisha Keene, and she was always the consistent scorer. You go to her if you ever need a shot. And this year they struggle to find that person in the lineup, and Portia Poole kind of emerged as that person. Clarissa Bell has provided just a spark of energy. She played great in the Nebraska game. She scored, I believe, their first 7 points. So that has been another big reason why. And then they finally found that kind of perfect mix of the lineup, finally found their score. Everyone kind of found their roles and has settled into it, and it's come at a really great time.
Spartan hockey team also concluded their regular season over the weekend, and they split with Notre Dame. Michigan State is the 5 seed in the upcoming CCHA tournament. They finished a point out of fourth place. So the first 5 teams actually get a bye in the first round of the CCHA playoffs. The 5th team has to go on the road to the 4th team, and so Michigan State will be on the road going to Miami of Ohio next weekend, and that's a team that beat Michigan State twice earlier this season at Munn Ice Arena. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left in today's show, and when I heard the phone ringing, I kind of had a feeling it might be this gentleman. Let's welcome in Jerry from Hazlitt. Hi, Jerry.
I'm going to take that as a compliment, Jeremy.
I would take it no other way, sir. Of course it is. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Let's talk some World Cup. I'm sorry, wrong show.
No, we can. I mean, the U.S. has a big game with Italy coming up on Wednesday. You know, it is just a friendly, but World Cup qualifying is starting here soon.
I didn't want you to even get any traction at all, Jerry.
Well, you shouldn't have brought it up then, Jerry.
You're exactly right.
You know better than that.
I do. Do you want to make a comment about the club? In fact, I'm not sure Tom has enough time to really shift any gears or make any adjustments. You're a little late in the season to be doing that. But because, I mean, conceivably, they could fall back into that three-way tie if they get too sloppy this week. But you know, one thing I noticed about this club is the not only the athleticism up front. I've noticed you talked about the field goal percentage defensively. I have seen clubs and players, individual teams, Wisconsin, Ohio State particularly, guys are missing shots. I mean, it could be luck, but they're missing shots in the paint this year against this club, Jeremy. That tells me that our length and guys like Payne and particularly even Nixon Dawson later in the season are in, not to mention Draymond, you know, we're so long up front here defensively that, we are crowding shooters, I think, even more than they think sometimes, because I've seen, it seems like this year I've seen opposing teams miss more and more, you know, easy layups.
Sure.
They're not finishing.
Well, Brandon Dawson is, I'm glad you brought him up, because he's certainly improved his defense maybe more than anybody this season. Early on, I don't want to say he was a liability, but you know, he tweaked that knee in the first game and played a little unsure after that. But you know, he had a little heart to heart with Tom, and now it seems like once a game he's getting the steal on the wing for, as Tom calls them, the turnovers for touchdowns. Only they're touchdowns for Michigan State instead of giving them up this year.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree, and that's obviously that's a big difference from the situation last year too, but I do think I'm a little concerned about the problem, the situation for the tournament in terms of our backcourt. To be honest with you, I think we're going to get pressured. I think we'll probably I'd be surprised if we didn't see a little more, maybe some type of matchup zone against us. And I think I can see our guys, particularly Epling, probably being trapped. Obviously, it'll take the right team with the right personnel to do it. And I'm sure Tom will probably account for that, but I'd be shocked if we didn't see that, any time past the first round. So we'll see how we deal with that.
Jerry, we appreciate the thoughts today. Running out of time, but good to talk to you again.
Take care, Jeremy.
All right, Jerry from Hazlitt, adding his thoughts again, and it's been a good season so far. Jacob, as Tom Izzo said today, been a good season, but it can be a whole lot better. They're certainly hoping to make it great. We want to thank all the callers who called in today and joined us here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. I also want to thank Sam Hosey from Life in Lansing for giving us a couple minutes. I'm Jeremy Sampson. Earl Robinson will be back in the hot seat again tomorrow, as he will join you for more Sports Talk at 106, and he'll go over everything that will have gone on. He'll let you know who won the Daytona 500, and I'm sure have lots of high school basketball talk as well. Today is the first night of the girls' high school districts, and you can join us on WILX-TV tonight. We'll have all your highlights and a whole lot more. Thanks again for listening, everybody. We hope that you'll join Earl again tomorrow. From Michigan State University, this is AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.